You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Song Exploder is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. This episode contains explicit language. Moses Sumney is a singer-songwriter based in Los Angeles. His first album, Aromanticism, came out in September 2017. But before that, he'd already worked with an impressive and diverse list of collaborators, from Syphian Stevens to Solange to Karen O of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs to Skrillex. That spirit continues with the song Moses Takes Apart in this episode. It has contributions from producers Cam OB and Paris Struther and legendary bassist Thundercat. Here's Moses Sumney breaking down his song Coral.
My name is Moses Sumney. When I was making my album, I was looking for a manager at the time. And one of the managers I was meeting was suggested like, oh, you know, you should get in the studio with this guy, Cam OB. And I was super reluctant to do it because it's such an LA thing for like songwriters to go to sessions with random producers or other songwriters. But I hated that. Cam's a brilliant producer, but most of the stuff he's done has been either hip-hop stuff or R&B stuff. And so typically I would have said no, but I think I was just curious about what could happen. I ended up really loving Cam. The first session that we had for this song was in 2015. We had met for the first time and just talked about music for like 2 hours. And we're showing each other stuff back and forth. And he showed me Stereolab for the first time. And I showed him like some Radiohead stuff I liked. And just went back and forth playing each other's stuff for like 2 hours. And that inspired us to go out into the world and make something. He started making this beat. This kind of drum machine that like tick, duck, duck, tick. I was very intrigued by the kind of vintage vibe it had, you know. I started messing around on the guitar, just messing with a few chords. And Cam, he had a keyboard. He's a really great keyboard player. And he just started laying down this keyboard part. And we went back and forth on these four chords. Lullaby. At that point, I was pretty inspired. I was listening to the drum machine and the keyboard, and I really just started singing in my head and trying to make a feel for melodies. And then I just went into a booth and freestyled. I typically find melodies by going in and just singing forever until something emerges. So I came away from that with the Rhodes sound recorded and the drum machine and one of those gibberish takes. And there's a little kalimba sound in there too that Cam recorded. That was the first day. And and I didn't see him again for a very long time. The next time I remember working on the song is when I went on a cruise. I got a random email just being like, hey, do you want to come on this TED Talk cruise for 7 days and sing 2 songs? So I went on this cruise where they got the top marine biologists in the world and the patrons who would fund their work to go on a trip across the Pacific Ocean and talk about oceans, which was like a really beautiful time, but also incredibly strange. It's just like surrounded by people who are just very different from me, you know, scientists and very, very rich people, because they would say some bizarre shit. They're true environmentalists, like, we have to save the fish. We have to save the coral reef. And then at dinner time, they turn around and say, like, all the black people who do social work that I've come in touch with are, they're so out of touch, or like they're pushing for like racial rights, but we're all just one human race. So why are they trying to make things better for people of color when it's like they should be thinking about everybody, you know? That was pretty bizarre to me, just thinking like, oh, you could see the ways in which the environment is oppressed, but you can't see the ways in which other human beings are oppressed. That's when I started thinking about the like themes in the song. I had this little cabin on the boat, and that's where I wrote most of the lyrics for this. I was thinking about the distance between people of different social groups, and that's what inspired a lot of the tune. The song is about power. And it's about two people in a relationship who are from different backgrounds. And so that could either be race or class or gender. Looking back in my life at relationships that I had had with people from different backgrounds who saw us as equals and didn't realize that in the broader scope of the world, their perspective was appreciated on a wider scale, shared on a wider scale, and elevated. And so they were coming to the table with a social power that they were discounting in the personal relationship. So the song, essentially, Quarrel, is about the idea that you can't call a disagreement between two people simply a lover's quarrel, because that would imply that they are equals, and you have to recognize that we're not, that no two people come from the same background. And so I spent a lot of time just in my cabin writing and demoed a lot of the first vocal ideas. Don't call it a lover's quarrel. Don't call it a lover's quarrel. And so the lyrics in the pre-chorus, with you half the battle is proving that we're at war. I would give my life just for the privilege to ignore. You know, just trying to get you to realize that there's an issue here that goes beyond me and you. And so if you have two people in a relationship and one of them comes from the group that holds the most social power in society, they have to account for that privilege and that relationship, or recognize that it ain't gonna work out. If you have the battle, it's proven that we're in war. The next step just became letting it sit for a while. I like to make something and then sit with it, like put it away and then revisit it to see if I still like it and if it's good enough. And so I would just drive around LA listening to that demo. And we didn't really work on it until almost a year later. I knew I wanted to change it in a lot of ways. I didn't want it to be just a beat-based song. And I was listening to a lot of Joanna Newsom. And so I was thinking, like, how can we make this folksy? I had Cam over and I was telling him that I liked the kalimba sound, but I wanted to see if we can like bring a bit of folk music to it. And so I was telling him I wanted to replace the kalimba sound with a harp, and I started looking for a harp player, but I could not find a harp player for the life of me. And then Cam, he remembered seeing this harp player on YouTube 7 or 8 years ago named Brandy Younger. And I looked her up on YouTube and instantly became obsessed. There's this wonderful NPR video of her playing with an upright bassist, and it's excellent. I looked her up on Facebook. I did a deep stalk. I was like, I have to get this woman. And I looked at all of her friends to see if I knew anyone who knew her. And I found someone. He connected me. And then a few weeks later, I flew out to New York and went to Harlem to record her on the song. We recorded her in her home. And luckily, she had a spare room in her apartment in which she was used to rehearsing and recording harp. So she invited a friend of hers over who records her sometimes. And we just took a laptop and an interface and a hard drive and recorded her in her spare bedroom. So we had her play a few, you know, like strum, just play the chords, pluck the chords, play a pattern. And then we did a few takes of just her improvising, and we ended up using a lot of the improvised stuff.
I love how you can hear the police sirens in the background.
Yeah, the streets of Harlem. And then a few weeks later, I assembled a band to play what became the outro or the reprise of the song. I had always wanted to make a song that started with a beat and then went live. And I wanted a long song on the record. I wanted a really long song. I just like long stuff. And I appreciate stuff, especially in this era, that seeks to hold your attention. And I knew that I wanted to have a band section on the album where it's like other human beings playing together live. So I just reached out to a few people. There's Paris Strother on the keys, and she is a brilliant piano keyboard player, and I'd always wanted to do something with her. So that day started with me and Paris sitting down, and I taught her the chords from the original song, and I told her my vision for it. Like, can you do this? Like, what about this? You know, because I don't really know chords, but I can sing what I'm hearing, and then we figure it out from there. So that's her on the roads. So we did that and then taught it to the rest of the band, and then we would just jam. On the drums, there is a Jamire Williams, who's a brilliant drummer. That section of the song was incredibly intimidating because I'm just so not used to working in studios. I never run a studio session. And so to have like professional musicians come in and then be like, all right, everyone, now do this, was like horrifying, but wonderful, because I learned so much and we got some beautiful stuff out of it. I just kind of conducted it all live in the room. I'm on a microphone and I'd either be singing or I'd be like, all right, now louder, go louder, go louder. Okay, now pull it back. Let's slow it down here. At the end of the song, I was like, bring it down and just go into a looser world. But it still makes sense because, you know, Jamire is like kind of keeping time for everyone. There was a different person on bass in that live trio, but I ended up replacing all of his bass with Thundercat. I always knew that I wanted Thundercat on it, but he's so hard to get in touch with. So we had Thundercat come over on a different day to my house, and he played all of his bass parts. That whole section starts with a chord on the bass, and I never imagined we'd go chordal on the bass in that moment, but he did it, and I was just like, okay, well, we have to keep that, because that's brilliant. And then there's that section where it's just like the doom 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 doom. That's my favorite part. That was just a take of Thundercat, like improvising. He hinted at that, and I stopped and was like, wait, that's the thing. That's what needs to be in that section. Because we'd been trying to lift that section even more, like with the synths. After we did that, Paris came in again, and I was just like, oh, can you just play the piano over that outro and just improvise? What we ended up doing is fading in that piano track and then fading out the band. The other person that worked on the song is my friend Joshua Halpern, who worked on a lot of my album in like various engineering or production capacities. He plays the electric guitar that comes in the second verse. The song was too pretty, and I was just like, we need to fuck it up. And so I was like, I want a guitar thing. I want it to be electric. I want it to be really low. I want it to be dark, and I want it to be biting. In context, it doesn't actually sound that menacing, but on its own, it's very like, which I really like. Towards the end of high school, I joined choir, and that was my first time really singing in public. And so my interest and investment in harmonies and choral music really came from that. And I've always wanted to try to be a choir, a one-man choir. Ooh, in the light, morning weary, feel those flowers of light. I spent a lot of time in solitude when making this album. So many people were a part of it, but I went away and wrote alone and tried to be as alone as possible. And when you're alone like that, you realize a lot about yourself, and you realize that you're not as simple, or at least I realized that about myself. And vocal arrangement became a way to communicate that I couldn't really just boil myself down to one thing.
And now, here's Quarrel by Moses Sumney in its entirety. To learn more about Moses Sumney, visit songexploder.net. Song Exploder is produced by me, along with Christian Kunz, with help from intern Olivia Wood. Carlos Lerma creates original illustrations for each episode of the podcast, which you can see on the Song Exploder website and Instagram. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of creative, independent podcasts made possible by listeners like you. Learn more at radiotopia.fm. If you want to share your thoughts on this episode or on the podcast in general, you can find Song Exploder on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Song Exploder. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening. Radiotopia.